move the Council of Region Queens Municipality approve the purchase of a 2023 4x4 3/4-ton pickup from Mosier Motors at a price of $75,365.50 plus HST to be funded from the equipment reserve.
Seconded by...
I do apologize. There's one mistake in the report saying that I got two complete requests. In fact, only one was received. So as you'll see, looking to replace an existing piece of equipment that's now been taken off the road. The frame broke in 7 places. Need pretty much whole new drivetrain, tires, exhaust. Replacing with the same spec truck that we've used the last few years, which has been working out very well. So just a basic truck. Outfitted to accept the plow, someday four-wheel drive, skid plates, lights, and that stuff. So order now would ensure that we'd have in the spring to continue on with our operation.
Springtime expectation.
Excuse me.
Any more questions, Director Grant? No, that is a replacement, not an addition.
That's right.
Councilor Brown?
I just want to say that, a number of friends I have that have bought trucks in the past, that this price is not a bad price. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen 3/4-ton truck prices that people have bought that have gone 6 figures now. So I think it's a fair quote.
Call for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? We may get through all of, yes, we have one more and then we're going. You have a account receivable write-off. Mr. Plummer, Manager of Finance. There is a motion within the package. A recommendation. Councilor Brown.
Recommend that the audit and journal, recommend the Council of Region of Queens approve the deletion of accounts 1939-2022-2800-2804-2938-3070-1997-2773-3252-3286-915-133-902-120 and write off principal and interest amounts totaling $9,657.63. $5,396.76 of which will be removed from the valuation allowance.
Seconded by Councilor Hawks. And this matter went to our internal audit, yep, or to our audit and finance committee, and it was kind of two separate groups, so that was disposing of it from the plumber.
Yep, so we have several different groups of receivables. So I'll start with the first one where we have Hillsview Acres. So that currently just sits on the receivables still. A resident passed away before the board was due, so partway through the month, and we weren't not able to recover the money, and there have been numerous attempts, but there's no point, because the resident's deceased, there's no point in putting that to the valuation allowance because it's just a contra account, so it will still be there. I'm looking for permission to delete it because this resident will not be back. For the solid waste, some of those have been on there as receivable since 2007. They are part of the allowance, so a part of the contra account, so it's a net effect, but still every month when I look at the receivables, I have to see these accounts over and over, and they're still accumulating interest that we won't actually ever recover. So looking to delete those as well. But as I said in the report, there's already 5,300 of it in the allowance, so it will only be a net effect of $747.
So they still they still have a business and they still use their
always? Goodness no, they are denied access to the facility, and this was prior to having, we have now with the audit internal control committee, we have a lot of processes, so this is a process that was developed because of this for termination of the solid waste facility, because some of these were actually multiple trips to the solid waste facility without payment. So then the other miscellaneous accounts, there's a land lease on there, which council terminated the lease last year, I think, so we're not gonna receive that money. Two employee medical amounts outstanding, we've developed a internal control process for employee benefits where they won't get to that point, and a change of use tax that was billed to the old owners, it's not even the current owners, so we're not gonna receive that either. So I'm looking to remove these from the books completely.
And Ms. Plummer, I'm assuming that those medical premiums that were not paid, those employees
no, they're no longer here. Then the water utility, there are two accounts which are inactive. So we're just looking to delete the amounts from here. And then there were interest charges for the education centers, which I attached a letter stated that the province is stating that they're not going to pay the interest, so I'm just looking to remove it because there's no point in keeping.
And that was interest on overdue accounts.
Yeah, and this was actually the first time that they have incurred interest charges. I'm not sure if it was just hopefully a one time that they were late.
Kind of ironic that I see water notices go out to people for $5.29 on water utility shut off basis. Yeah.
Dollars.
Well,
if it's the wish of council for me to disconnect some our four schools over the interest charges instead, then I can do that as well.
Don't think that will fly.
Don't think that's a battle we want to take on today.
Nope, that's why it's on the server.
Not for education.
Councilor Brown?
I'd just like to say that these were brought before the Audit and Internal Control Committee, and like Ms. Plummer said, the processes have been put in place so that many of these accounts can't get to that level again. So we've been proactive after, well, I guess reactive, to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But hopefully we don't keep doing this.
Any other questions or calls for questions? All those in favor? Contrary? If you look at our agenda, you will notice at 2:30 we have a contract negotiation schedule. Before I ask for a motion to go in camera, and then we have another one scheduled for 3:30. I'm wondering what council wishes to do, what notification we want to give the public. We still have six discussion items to do. The first I'm thinking half hour or more to take us to 3:00. You want to deal with all the in-camera items and then come back out and finish up the discussion?
Easier.
Yeah. Easier that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a motion to go in camera, noting that we are going to do those three in-camera items, at which time we will come out of in camera and then return to the six discussion items. Councilor Brown, you move that?
Yep, I move that we go into camera, in camera to discuss the three in camera items, then come out of camera to finish the six discussion items.
And then seconded by Councilor Romero. All those in favor? And we are back in public session. Council needs to step out for a moment, but it's a matter to deal with. So a development agreement discharge, Mr. McLeod, Director of Planning, a quick explanation of why the new property owners are requesting a development discharge.
Yes, Mayor Nolan. A request has been submitted. The property at 800 Beach Hill Road has an existing development agreement that was put in place back in 2014 that would allow the owner of the property at the time to establish a dog kennel, grooming, training business at that location. However, once the agreement was finalized and in place, subsequent to that time, the owner never did proceed with the establishment of that business. Now the property has changed hands, and the current owner of the property no longer wishes to have this agreement as a burden against the property, and wishes to have the development agreement discharged.
Deputy Mayor, Councilor Muse.
I'd like to refer this to the next meeting with the recommendation to get rid of the development agreement discharge.
I second it.
Not to get rid of the discharge, but to have a discharge. And that was seconded by Councilor Gidney. Any further questions? All in favor? Carried. Oceanside Drive, request, but actually the presenter this morning, it's, I do believe it's their own.
It is.
So Mike, they meet all the requirements.
They do.
Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there's no similar name, so the name itself is acceptable to the planning department, and as the applicants are the actual owners of the road, there's no other formal petition from a budding property owner, so it is in compliance with the bylaw or the name policy.
Discussion or Carlton?
I would like to move to add this under a recommendation to adopt the name Oceanside Drive.
Seconded. Councilor Romero, questions? All those in favor? Requirements for traffic study. Mr. Levy, our clerk. As you recall, many meetings ago, the question was asked about the traffic study, so our clerk has done his homework and his research, and what have you found?
Yeah, so I reached out to all the municipalities in the province and received some responses, and then had some conversations. Highlights of those are first, I think, the one question that was asked at the council meeting was, are there clear sets of standards or conditions that trigger a traffic study? No one I spoke to indicated there were. So when a traffic study in general is requested, it is done on the recommendation of the planner, the traffic authority, or engineer, depending on what a municipality has or what combination. We do have within our municipal planning strategy, policy 6-22G does allow for traffic studies to be requested. So our practice here is fairly standard to everyone else that I've spoken with. So we have the ability to request the traffic studies without set conditions, but generally in conversation, consultation with the traffic authority, engineer, the planner. And that's the fairly similar process throughout the province.
Any questions? This was for information. Councilor Charlton?
So I think based off the information in the package that I read, if there was, I'm kind of circling back to the development on Bristol when we had many concerns about, the traffic there and things like that. So what you're saying in that is, I guess ultimately, if there's not a recommendation from staff, if it was a hot topic and pressing and council believed there might be a safety concern, that we could ask for one of those if we wished, if there was enough support, but we're covered basically on both bases, either way.
Generally speaking, I mean, the way that our policy is written is that, council can request the traffic study. The practice of what it usually takes place is that first the engineer or the planner of the traffic authority is either asked by council to look into whether they feel something is necessary, or the engineer, planner, or traffic authority brings forward a recommendation to council that they think it's necessary to have a traffic study. So it's kind of a two-way street in potential. That being said, most common practices are when there's a development agreement, part of assessing the approval of that agreement would be whether there is a need to ask council to request a traffic study.
So really it should, come from the planning department.
Most generally, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Just some information, Dr. Fancy?
So when we look over at Tim Hortons, the great one to look at, and we said, hey, look, there's a, we see traffic being stopped in the middle of the intersection. We have a problem issue. Could then we come say, or maybe the signage needs to be changed or whatever it may be, that we say it's not up for us to do that, but we could bring and say, hey, could we have a study done on this? Is that yes,
no? That's potentially a different situation than what I was asked to look into. I was, looking into the development agreement process. So sort of how traffic flow evolves over time based on intersections and businesses is beyond my scope of expertise or education. And so those sorts of questions would be better asked, I think, to someone else within the region, perhaps the traffic authority. I can't really speak to that kind of thing specifically. But in terms of traffic studies as part of a development agreement, that's what I've looked into. So, but other types of traffic studies, I'm not sure what our policies or other municipalities do there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mayor McDill?
I may just clarify. So the traffic studies are done prior to a development?
Okay.
In the case of Tim Hortons, the development's already there, and so
right. We
can't force somebody to do a study after the fact.
Okay.
We have no legal ability to do that.
Okay.
Certainly, if we're going to sell a piece of property, we can say, well, before we sell it to you, we want you to have a study, or if we're going to rezone it, then we can ask for a traffic study based on those criteria prior to a development taking place. Once the development takes place, then there's no authority for us to force somebody to do a traffic study after the fact.
So that would be the same thing as, like, if I would say up on either side of the river in Milton, I say, hey, I'd like to see that all 50 all the way through instead of 80. We couldn't ask for a traffic study to see if that's compatible or not, because that's already there.
And that would be a traffic study per se, is what we're talking about here for developments. That's more something you'd ask TIR to undertake.
Okay.
To do a road count and a speed count and all that stuff.
Okay.
They may call the traffic study, but that's a different type of traffic study than what we're
talking
about.
Okay. Thank you.
As they have out through Hunts Point, they change speed zones up through there. Anyway, it's in the
speeds different directions.
So that's, thank you. That's just for information. So thank you for gathering that information for us. Council implementation report. It gets smaller, then it grows larger, and now it's wheedling down again. Any questions respecting anything on that report? Winter parking enforced. Yes, Council.
Good. Grant approval for Queens County Historical Society. Place a lost city monument on municipal land.
Oh, just tell me the date on that one.
October 25th.
Okay.
Responsibility of the CAO. I thought we were waiting for approval for the final location from the municipal director of engineering, public works.
We are. It's the responsibility of the CAO to pass along, to direct that to staff. So
that means that has not happened then, or?
Where's
approval was given yesterday.
Okay, I'm sorry.
To the group.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you.
Anything else?
That one from 2019, is that ever going to be?
Oh, the parking lot?
Yeah, Morgan Holdings. October 22nd, 2019,
that's,
is that ever going to
be?
It's still in process.
Still in process.
Oh my God.
Winter parking enforcement, every year we talk about this, it's a little different request coming from our Director of Engineering regarding towing. So, Director
Marriott? Yeah, so as the report states, in the course of our operation through the winter, we got more than enough to do with staff removing snow and call it debris from parking lot streets, etc. And cars that impede our operation pose a significant safety hazard both to pedestrians, their vehicle, our operators for the course operation. The MVA states clearly that any vehicle that's obstructing to be removed at the owner's cost. At this point, seeking direction on how council wants us to proceed with that, whether we secure a contractor to perform that task force on a continuous basis. basis over the course of the winter. Or the alternative to towing vehicles would be to continue to work around them and take the risk of damaging those vehicles and being liable for the damage. Those are clearly the two options that exist.
Questions?
Mr. Gidney?
So, if we contract a towing company to come in to do it, the cost is gonna be reflected to the owner of the vehicle, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So there's basically no cost to us.
There's no cost to the region.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Counselor Romero?
And for all these years, we've been just going around them?
So, over the course of time, it hasn't been a great problem. When there was a problem, bylaw was great to get involved in the RCMP to find the owners of the vehicles and cooperative to have them move the vehicles out of our way, and that we were patient in that same manner.
Our bylaw officer, you mean?
Pardon me?
Our bylaw
officer? That's right, yeah. Time now, RCMP, as I say, don't have time. They don't wanna be involved into it, and they referred me back to the MVA and just, you know, direction to enforce it.
Okay.
Counselor Brown, you had a question?
Yeah, is there potentially a savings with that if the cars are moved out of the way and we can plow, clear roads, get it done one pass?
It would be a savings in way of a headache, I guess, that they pose for us.
And safety for the driver.
That's right. They do present quite a bit of problem with efficiency with regards to removing snow. We've got to keep going back and find out whether the car is gone or not. So towing them, getting them out of our way would be a clear message that they're obstructing our operation and would increase our efficiency for sure.
This is not something that's new in Nova Scotia. This is done in most jurisdictions. And
that's correct.
People get upset. They yell and scream to the neighbors, and then the neighbors all know not to park their cars in the roads next snowstorm.
Adam, I know the public will question how much snow. So let's just suppose we're going to get this much snow tonight. And we know that, you know, we get this much snow and it stops. Are we going to ticket and tow?
So our involvement wouldn't be the ticket at all. We're simply going
to
call a contractor. We'll solicit bids from local contractors to come out and remove those vehicles, and that would be dependent on every situation. The only thing we can do for the public is to advise them of what the MGA or the Motor Vehicle Act states and have them aware that this is the process we're going to undertake.
So
there's no way to state, depending on how much snow we're expecting, what our reaction would or would not be.
We never do, I guess, you know, because we don't have our local station or anything. We see it in Halifax. It's going to be a snowstorm tonight. They said the act will be invoked tonight. You know, if any cars are on the road, you're going to be towed away. Things like that, just to let them know to get up, you know, to don't park on the road or something. Does that help? Things like that.
Honestly, not sure if it will help or not. Hopefully, it will, because I mean, our interest isn't in having cars towed on a regular basis. That's just another headache we don't need.
Yeah.
I do see it in some municipalities, and CAO can probably correct me, but some still do have a winter parking ban that basically states the same thing as the MVA. So whether it does more or less, I don't know that.
Okay.
But both have the power to remove vehicles from the way.
Councillor Charlton haven't spoke yet, and then Councillor Gidney.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about what Jack just led to the winter parking ban. When I lived in Halifax, there would always be, you know, they would use their social media, different avenues of things to say, like, you know, they have certain dates and clear guidelines for that. So I think that would be helpful for residents of our community if we establish, you know, a certain time period that winter ban is in effect, and if it's going to snow, like, and you're blocking, you know, the road, you can be towed. I mean, we need to make sure our roads can be plowed, but for our residents, if there was a way for us to advertise or, you know, just to say that we have a winter ban and what it is so they can expect it if they're not already used to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think what you're alluding to is maybe more of the cleanup efforts that they undertake when they advertise what hours, what streets, et cetera, to let people know that they're going back after the fact to do the cleanup effort.
No.
You don't think, even during a storm?
I have seen, I think, the town of Bridgewater do that before, but what I mean is like the advertisements where it's the winter parking ban is now in effect. So if you're, I don't know, to your point, maybe those are from like a certain period of like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. I don't know. It depends, I guess, how they clean up. But I just wondered if there was a way to kind of put the message out clearly to residents. And maybe that looks different here. I'm not sure. It's just kind of a comment.
If I could, the region of Queens did have a winter parking ban at one point in time. that came in effect a certain day of a certain month, ended on a certain day of a certain month. And then it got rid of that because it's covered in the MGA Act.
Okay.
And on the radio, I hear it on CBC, I hear it on various news stations, and I don't know if it's RCMP or public safety, remind Nova Scotians constantly about this Motor Vehicle Act. Regardless if you're in a town, in a county, on a street, this ban takes place in Hunts Point on Beach Hill Road, literally. And I see my...
Just as a, for information, we do post to Heather on social media every year, just a little blurb on Winter Park, and we cite the Motor Vehicle Act in the requirements, so that information is posted. I don't know how often Heather that...
It's at least weekly through the winter. I haven't started the first posting yet.
But it, could it be more detailed? Well, potentially so, but it's just a... basic information respecting the work, so that is, has been done for the last number of years.
And Ms. Cook, you want to?
Yes, I wanted to add too, it also instructs people not that it's illegal to throw their snow into the road, which causes our people and the Department of Highways Patrol trouble. So that's the two-part promotion.
So, direction staff, so do we need are we going to need a motion at our next meeting?
No, you're just given consent to the traffic authority or the engineer to enforce the rule and recognize you will get calls.
And recognize that our bylaw officer used to actually track down people and bang on doors. Often the same people all the time, so. But we can be, I don't know, council will want us to be more diligent in promoting the fact.
Yes.
We've got QCCR radio, we've got ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We can remind shopkeepers to talk to their customers, and we can talk to people we know, and word spreads really fast. So probably two cars will be towed, and the message will be there. And perhaps look to the newcomers in the community of Liverpool, who may not be aware, especially newcomers.
Thank you.
And we have
Thank you, Mr. Grant.
Local paper.
Oh, shit.
Deputy Mayor.
Okay. Now, we even heard today about the communication group that's being formed, and so a lot of this will be going back to the communication group to be able to get a full picture, but I want to just talk about it from, I guess, from a council's perspective. In our local paper, we've always had in the past is when we were going to put something up, we say, well, what's the local paper? Because, we advertise in the Chronicle, Herald, the South Shore Breaker, the Lighthouse Now, and then we use the two radio stations. We say we're doing it locally. Well, a lot of the older people in particular just don't get it. You know, there's a lot of things that are advertised that we don't get. We do have two local papers that are printed monthly, and that's the Queen's Crown and Good News for North Queens. I believe that we cannot support the papers as in financially, but I think we could be able to look at possibly putting ads into the papers, which is then in turn, in its own way, supporting them and to help them to grow. And I'm even hearing with the Queen's Crown, they're probably going to go bi-weekly starting next year. What else I was going to say here? It's just like we just talked about the parking ban. That'd be a great thing to put out there. You know, you could get it in there, somebody would see it and everybody would know about it. I know when I was talking with Tanya the other day, since they stopped putting out the paper and started just putting it in different areas, when I talked to her that one day, she had already had 50 subscriptions because they wasn't coming in the mailbox anymore. So she wants it, and that was only $25 a year, so it isn't a lot. I'd like to see us try to look at what the local paper is, and the local paper being Queens Crown and good news for North Queens, and we're gonna put out any kind of things. So I know this last time around, we had, we put out for the tax sale, they put it into Queens Crown. And they said it was so much cheaper to put it in there than the Chronicle Herald. You'd always have to put it in the Chronicle Herald, because you gotta get it out far wide so everybody else can hear about it. But I don't look at the South Shore Breaker and the Lighthouse now as being local papers. I think that, you know, if we want to continue to go on with those, I think that's fine, but I think we should be trying to use our local groups are trying to do, and trying to support them, and having an ad out every month or whatever that would be in that paper. It would say something or another, just to say something from the region to show we support, and to be able to put out a message of some sort.
To Ms. Cook, just because I think it's a correction. Good news for Queens, for
good
North Queens
for North
quarterly.
Is quarterly.
Is quarterly. So it's not a monthly.
Oh, okay, yes,
so
you're right. It's quarterly.
Monthly.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's quarterly.
And the council, we're generally made aware of that. I think it's a wonderful idea if Queens Crown continues and staff feel there is a need and something that they need to advertise.
Right.
Should be there. However, the fact that we're just going to put an ad just to say, hi, how are you, might be a little different, but staff are aware of that paper. If there are subscription dates and deadlines and all such things, then staff do know that that is there. Ms. Plummer took advantage of that paper.
Mm-hmm.
Uncertain as council, if you want to give direction that we must place ads, regardless of whether or not we have an ad to place. Councilor Charlton?
I didn't understand it as placing an ad no matter what, but I'm just thinking earlier, in our agenda earlier, we have a public hearing on January the 10th, so, and it all depends on when the Queen's Crown comes out. I'm not 100% sure on their deadlines, but maybe something like for a public hearing, especially like in the land use bylaw public hearings, there were a lot of people that just said, we didn't know about this. And I think a lot of people are picking that paper up, and I realize Mike left the room, so he can't answer if something like that has already gone in there. Maybe it has, but something like that I think could be helpful. But, you know, I'm happy to bring this forward
mm-hmm.
in the communication committee that we mm-hmm. just struck, the ad hoc committee that Councilor Brown and I are both on, and because I think we'll have a lot of these in-depth conversations about how we can evolve and reach more people. So I'm happy to bring that forward
mm-hmm.
in that light. I think we should support the paper if we can, when it makes sense. If it's
mm-hmm.
just once a month right now, we're not going to be able to pack a lot of information in that, especially I guess with the Caledonia one, if it's only quarterly, but I think we could utilize it, especially if it becomes
mm-hmm.
bi-weekly, sure.
I think my concern with using the Queen's Crown for things like public hearings is we have to publish them twice, I believe.
So there's a difference between the legal publishing and then the publishing to make people aware. So
right.
legally required to advertise in a newspaper. So neither one of those are newspapers. So Social Breaker is not a newspaper. So if we advertise any of those are just over and above.
Okay.
We're still legally required, whether it's the Lighthouse Now or Chronicle Herald, to do the legal requirements.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So these would be just ones over and above.
Yeah.
The extra
yeah.
cost or whatever.
So that goes to my concern of us, if we made some kind of a resolution to call that our local paper, then we would be looking at time frames that would stretch it out by a couple of months to do public hearings. But for information purposes, it would be a great idea to reach more people. And
I just have a question in the comments that it's not a local paper. So what would it need to be to meet that requirement? Like the Advance would have been our local paper. So. What do they need to do to make that a local paper?
And I don't know the answer. It would have to be. I'm sure there's some sector or some government regulation somewhere. I'm not sure. There's just no Social Breaker. We've been told it's not a newspaper. It's a flyer. So it doesn't meet the standards for advertising for government.
So we're not 100% certain if the Queen's Crown doesn't meet. We would need to clarify that. And moving forward, maybe they don't and they're working towards it. It's possible. I don't know.
We could have staff investigate because a lot of things are tied to the Municipal Government Act.
Yeah.
So they must have a definition of what local paper is. I mean, I know newspapers are certified with publication numbers and the registration number
mm-hmm.
and
and all those things. So we could look into that.
Okay.
To find out what legally determines the local paper.
That would be helpful, yeah.
But it would be good to, as subscription increases. But again, as a business, I think that would be good, very good for them to investigate what determines, you know, it's their business. So what does it take? How do they become recognized as a newspaper? And that's, I don't know, it could be different publication, you know, rates to send through mails or whatever. Sure, there's the answers to that.
The other kind of concern I have is I know there's areas in my district that run along Lunenburg County that are serviced from post offices in Lunenburg County. So anything that comes out in the mail, they don't get from Queens County. So the municipal matters doesn't go to a whole swath out in Chelsea because their mailing address is Lunenburg post office, even though it's rural delivery.
And that's why we leave them extra ones at stores.
At the stores, yeah.
So thank you, Deputy Mayor Fancy, for bringing that forward. And I would urge, while you're talking to Tanya, if she wishes to, you know, make her, if there is a certain registration process or publication process to be called a newspaper,
right,
then that would be perhaps wise for her to do if she so chooses. But staff are aware of the paper, and
right,
they all have budgets to advertise what they're doing. And with the communication strategy overlooked, I think it's premature for us to make any. Anyway, that is the end of today. I thank you for your time and your patience. And I wish you all a Merry Christmas. This will be our only meeting this month, unless there is a need to call a special council meeting. So peace and joy to you all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry
Christmas, everyone.